Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Shad here, your host for this weekend's edition, also your host throughout the week. And one happy thing that I can report from at least my family life is that we did welcome my new son to the world on March 1st. So if you hear any squawking in the background, that just might be him. Very exciting time for our family, and also a very exciting time for all the precious metals bugs that listen to the show, because on that day and the follow through early on in this last week, we have seen precious metals continue to move higher and a wide range of the stocks get a bounce off some pretty washed out levels. But that gives us a lot to talk about throughout the week and on this weekend show. On this weekend show, we're featuring two of our more generalist commentators, but with a focus on how they're playing the precious metals and a lot of other areas that are at all-time highs. Chatting right now with Mike Larson, editor-in-chief at Money Show. Mike, as I said, let's start off with precious metals, gold breaking two all-time highs in the face of a lot of other sectors at all-time highs. Let's start with gold here. What do you think of this breakout, Mike, and how much higher could gold be going?
Well, geez, I feel like the obvious thing to say first is congratulations to you and your family. Very happy for you. The second thing I was going to say is I pretty much have to credit you for the breakout here, right? I mean, you timed the birth and the gold move here perfectly. So thank you for that, for all the gold bugs out there.
Yeah, hey, my pleasure. We can thank Buster for that, but I'm sure we'll hear from him a little bit later in the show.
No, I'll tell you, I mean, we were joking in previous conversations when I've been on the show that it's sort of been like a waiting for Godot environment. A lot of the ingredients have been coming together, in my opinion, for a bull market in precious metals, whether that's the sideways to down move in the dollar ever since 2022's rip higher, whether it's that the Fed has been pivoting from a tightening stance to a sideways and this year cutting stance, you know, whether it was just investors looking for sort of the next asset that has sat out a bull market and is likely to run. There are a lot of reasons behind why gold and silver and precious metals should have started running, but it was frustrating for a while there. You and I, people on the show, counseled patience, and you know what? Patience is being rewarded. This is the version of Waiting for Godot, the play where at the end of it, Godot actually shows up. So that's nice to see. I think what's encouraging in the short term is that we've been banging away at that overhead resistance in the gold market for a while, failed a couple of times, you know, tried to break through, failed, tried to break through again, failed. But the pullbacks were pretty shallow. It wasn't like, you know, gold pulled back $200, $300 after failing to break out. It was more mild. That was an encouraging sign. And now, you know, we're seeing follow through. So a breakout's great, but if it lasts for a day or two, that, you know, that's not necessarily a confirmed one. But what we're seeing here is not just a breakout that's holding. We're also seeing extending. So I think that it's encouraging technical action. The fundamentals have been lining up for a while. And, you know, I think this move runs. I think this is the start. You know, we've sort of been in that seventh inning stretch of the baseball game for a long time. You know, they kept singing and we didn't get back to play. But now we are. And I think that this move is going to be one of the signature moves that we'll see in 2024.
Let's also talk about GDX and GDXJ, because look, gold has really just been knocking on these all-time highs for almost 3-4 years now. 2020 was the big run up to almost 2100, then it tested it again in 2022, and then tested in 2023 a couple of times, and now has broken out. The thing is, the gold stocks have continued to sell off. Back in 2020, gold stocks were about almost 50% higher looking at something like GDX than they are now. So how do you understand this lack of correlation here where gold has stayed strong and the stocks have continued to get cheaper?
You know, I think some of it is just, again, you know, your portfolio managers, the modern guys are looking for sort of tech plays and what's going to be hot and how to play the new and exciting thing, crypto and all of its sort of tie-ins, AI and so on. I think part of it has just been, you know, overcoming the narrative. It hasn't been exciting. It hasn't had momentum. It hasn't had, you know, technical strength to correlate. And the underlying commodity has just been moving sideways. I think now, again, that's where you're going to see, I think, in this case, a real powerful move there as people realize, you know, hey, what's happening in some of these more exciting parts of the market are great, but, you know, the fund managers have just been sort of ignoring a sector of the market that hasn't done anything, start having to educate themselves and get interested again, and big money gets involved. So I think that sort of process, once this breakout not only holds but extends, then you're going to see people say, gosh, you have this relatively, in terms of, you know, relative to the overall markets and other sectors that are huge in terms of market cap and market dominance, like tech and so on. They're going to say, geez, you got this small corner of the market that's been ignored for so long. If I wait until it becomes popular again, I'm going to miss out on a lot of upside momentum. So I think you're going to see money flowing there. And I think that it's just, it's starting now. And again, as this move confirms and extends and gains a little bit of momentum, then you're going to see people start to pile in.
Well, Mike, since you do follow such a wide swath of markets, I want to pull on the string a little bit further of the cryptocurrency space versus the speculative side of the gold space, which is the mining stocks. We've had some animosity in both camps, where there's people at the precious metals level hurling rocks at the crypto people and vice versa, the crypto hodlers, calling them boomer rocks back at the gold people. There are people in the middle, though, that are pragmatic and look at them both as very similar markets. But there's been the notion that the crypto space has been stealing that speculative flow of funds from the mining stocks, which maybe would have gone there in years past when the crypto space didn't exist. Can they coexist? Do you think some crypto people will eventually get into the mining stocks? Or has the market substantially changed now that the cryptoverse has been created over the last dozen years or so?
Look, I think that the best advice or thing I would say here is, hey, why can't we all get along, right? It's been this market where it's been either or, but I think since we had the huge run-up in crypto and the crypto crash a few years ago, and that led to all the fraudsters kind of being flushed out of the system, all the garbage, all the people that were, you know, just sort of hangers-on and glomming onto that move and scamming people out of their money, you know, you had the huge boom and run-up and crash, and now you're in what I think on the crypto side is a more sustainable, let's look through the survivors, let's see how we, now this asset's being sort of more institutionalized, how we can profit and so on. So I think that we're probably, on the crypto side, I think this is more of a lasting move, whereas I basically sat out most of what we had before because it looked a lot like a dot-com boom and bust, housing boom and bust, and so on. In the wake of both of those busts, what happened? You cleaned out a lot of the garbage, a lot of the lousy home builders went broke, a lot of the money-losing dot-coms went broke, but there ultimately became an industry and an ecosystem and investments that survived that became very profitable for people who got in after the wreck. I think that's probably what you're seeing in crypto. And as for the gold side, it doesn't, to me, it doesn't have to be an either or, especially as it gets more institutionalized. I think you're going to see traditionalists that are still going to stick with gold. It's been there for a couple thousand years, you know, slightly longer history than Bitcoin's been around. So I think that you're going to have the traditionalists. And I think if it gains some momentum, I think what you might actually see, ironically enough, as if, you know, Bitcoin after this run-up maybe stalls out after it breaks out to a new high and goes through some of the sideways chop that gold did, some of the momentum players are going to say, well, you know, these are starting to move together, but what hasn't moved up already a lot versus what has moved up already a lot? And so I think you would, ironically enough, you might see some momentum money start to pile into gold if Bitcoin just kind of, you know, I guess, chops sideways for a while. So that's how I sort of see the interplay between those two groups. But again, I think they can coexist. I think that the pie overall is growing, especially given the mainstream money, the institutional money, the advisor money and things like that, that will start to flow into crypto now that it's got that sort of institutional stamp of approval. So, you know, we can all grow.
Oh, Mike, that's such a level-headed way to look at it. Really, that's why I appreciate talking to more of the generalists, because, look, you see the bigger picture out there where there is room for both of those narratives to grow, which we actually have seen recently. We are out of time for this segment on the radio, so everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Mike Larson, and we are going to continue to chat about the markets in this environment that we are in, where everything, or at least a lot, is continuing to all-time highs, trying to find where the best opportunities are.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com. Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized. The venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. We are continuing to chat with Mike Larson, editor-in-chief at the money show. Now, Mike, big picture comment here. We spend the whole first half talking about precious metals and some other areas where you see opportunities, especially in crypto. Let's talk about this environment here where we have gold, Bitcoin, U.S. markets, and a number of different subsectors within the U.S. markets at all-time highs. What do you take away from what seems like a very risk-on, bullish environment for a wide range of sectors and not necessarily ones that are that closely correlated?
This has always been a market that if it doesn't broaden out, if it didn't broaden out, I should say, we're going to ultimately have a problem, right? You can't just have a handful of stocks running and nobody else participating forever and ever. It's interesting, this year, you've seen the Mag 7 sort of thin out. Tesla's dropped behind. Apple just broke down. You know, some of the Mag 7 names have faded, but what's happened? The overall averages have held up, and, you know, in the last 3 months or so, the returns on the IWM are about equal to the returns on the XLK. In other words, small caps and tech over about a 90-day period are roughly in line, tech's beating it by a percentage point or two. And what does that tell you, especially as you see, you know, financials, you see transport, you see some of these other groups, industrials. Industrials are one of the sort of hidden gems over the last few months here that have done very well. So you add it all up and you say, look, this is a market, and some of the experts, I will say too, some of the technicians like Ralph Acampora and Craig Johnson that we had at the Las Vegas Money Show and some of the others I've spoke to, Craig actually said this is going to be a market where it goes from Mag 7 to Lag 7, but the overall averages and other groups make up for it. So I tend to agree with that. I think one of the big stories this year is going to be broadening, you know, better breadth and so on, and people making money in other sectors. I don't think tech crashes or anything. I think it might just kind of get left behind and chop around while these other sectors pick up that torch. So again, you know, I don't want to sound Pollyanna-ish, but a lot of the things that I started to see almost a year and a half ago, or more than a year ago, align for a bullish outlook, haven't sort of disappeared or got, you know, reversed. It's gotten better. So I think in that scenario, you know, you can always come up for excuses to sell stocks or not own them or not buy or whatever. But I think you got to look at it from a sort of a clear-headed way as possible and say, look, there's things that really argue for a strong year, a great year. Keith Fitzgerald at our event actually said he thinks this could be a year for the record books. I don't know that I'd go that far, but, you know, I got a lot of reasons to be optimistic here.
Well, Mike, since you do talk to so many people at the Money Show and you get such a range of ideas and input from experts there, are there any sectors under the surface, like you mentioned, the small caps doing better, or even industrials were doing better in a stealth rally? Are there any other segments of the market that you heard about or that people have flagged that it could be a contrarian place to keep riding up some strength that are being overlooked right now?
Well, again, you know, here's financials, right? I mean, you've heard probably the news that New York Community Bank, another one of these super regionals or regionals, that got in trouble with commercial real estate lending and the stocks tanking and so on. But unlike when you had those banks out in California and otherwise out west that were tanking and failing, guess what the XLF, the financial ETF's done? In the last 90 days, it's up 13%. Okay, is 13% up as much as the AI stocks? No, it's not. But it's that kind of stuff. You look at industrials, 13.5%. I mean, you know, these are respectable runs, and not only are they respectable runs, they're ones where these sectors aren't giving back much, even when tech, you know, stumbles and so on. So I think things that align with a soft landing to even potentially a reaccelerating type economy later in the year and as we roll into 2025, those are the kinds of things that I think look really strong. I think that have great prospects. So from a market cap standpoint, it would be small over large. From a sector, it might be transports, industrials, and financials over just big tech. So those are some of the areas that I'm looking at, and I think probably are pretty attractive for this year.
Yeah, to your point, look at XLF. It's back pretty much at all-time highs, too. So this is an environment that, boy, oh boy, there's a lot of money coming into the system. To that point, though, let's look at something like the U.S. dollar, which has been generally flat. And look, if the dollar moves down, money can rotate into markets. However, again, this dollar has been mostly range-bound throughout 2023, 2024. How important is it for investors to watch the dollar in this more just generally bullish risk-on environment?
Sure. Well, when you and I used to talk months and months ago, I described the dollar as a governor on the engine for precious metals and other commodities. Basically, you know, it's not the end all and be all that totally dominates what happens with metals and commodities. But it is something that if they have other bullish factors going for them, and that you'd like to think the engine could rev up, unfortunately, the rising dollar, and especially in 2022, the surging dollar acted as a governor. It kept the engine from revving. You know, and obviously the dollar is down from its peak in 2022, but as you noted, it's been chopping sideways for a few quarters here. Just getting a sideways motion is now, you know, essentially allowing gold to break out and silver and so on. So I think you don't need the dollar to crash to ignite or drive this next bull leg in gold. You just need it to basically get out of the way. And I think that's what we're seeing. So again, you know, dollar downside would help commodities sort of, you know, the opposite of the governor, maybe turbocharge the move a little bit. But I don't think you necessarily need that for another bull leg here. You just need it to get out of the way.
Can we take a look back here, Mike, in terms of any times in history where you have noticed a similar environment here where markets at all-time highs, precious metals at all-time highs, and overall it just seems like everything is quite bullish out there?
You know, it's a unique environment. Yes, it is. And of course, in past whatever environments where you had a soft landing or whatever you want to call it, you didn't even have assets like Bitcoin that existed, really. So I think, you know, every scenario is different. Every market's different. But, I'll admit, I was wrong about the Fed. I thought they were going to give us a hard landing versus a soft. But if we're truly going to come in for that soft landing scenario, I mean, look, the market ripped in after the 94 and early 95 cycle was done. I think that's probably why some of the people like Keith are talking about maybe a year for the record books. And I think even, you know, you're going to have pockets of where the markets get overextended and sentiment gets, you know, exuberant, if not irrationally so. I mean, obviously stocks in the AI sector, for example, have been ripping. You know, it's just sometimes that can get out of control or whatever. I don't necessarily think we're there now. But broadly speaking, I don't see excessive exuberance. I don't see, you know, people, you know, the shoeshine guy, you know, giving stock tips. I don't see people bragging all over social media that how much money they're making, you know, kind of like we have with the meme stock run up and crash. It seems like more of a healthy, broadening, fundamentally and technically supported move. And you have all that going, why would you fight it? I just don't think it's the right time. I don't see anything imminent or even in the short to intermediate term that's going to change the dynamic. So, you know, ride it is my advice. Be bold.
All right, that's going to wrap up this second segment with Mike Larson, again, editor-in-chief at Money Show. I will post a link to the Money Show website so you can all find out about some of the upcoming events and conferences that company is hosting where you can meet with Mike and hear from all the other traders, a wide range of traders at those conferences. And just another note for everyone listening on the radio, if you want to listen to the full interview with Mike, I unfortunately did have to cut out a couple spots just to fit it into the radio segment. You can visit our website, kereport.com, or podcast, The KE Report, to listen to that full interview. Also, check out our new YouTube page. Just search The KE Report. Everyone, we'll be right back with Dana Lyons.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.
USA News Update.
Well, my Republican friends, that's cost a lot of money raising the deficit. Guess what? We cut the deficit. It cut the deficit. $1 trillion. Last guy ballooned the deficit.
President Biden, fresh off the State of the Union, campaigning in Philadelphia Friday, taking on a similar tone to the one he delivers at the State of the Union speech Thursday night at the Capitol.
Folks, our freedoms really are on the ballot this November.
Former President Trump taking to his social media platform, Truth Social, to weigh in on Biden's State of the Union address.
Joe Biden is on the run from his record and lying like crazy to try and escape accountability for the horrific devastation he and his party have created, all the while they continue the very policies that are causing this horror show to go. We cannot take it any longer as a country.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans and nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And we are continuing to bring on more of our generalist guests here to comment on a lot of all-time highs that we continue to see in a wide range of markets. We are now chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. You can follow along with Dana at the Lion Share Pro website, which I will link to within our website and podcast post. Dana, you know how much our audience likes the precious metals market, so let's start off with gold and the rally that really started last Friday and has continued through this week. As we're recording this, about halfway through the day on Thursday, gold is trading about $21.65. It has continued to extend. The first time really ever that we have seen, or at least in the last decade, where we have seen gold reach up to about $2,100 and keep on moving, not reverse right away. I know you have been playing GLD and thinking that a breakout could happen. Now that it's here, what does it look like for you?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Yeah, it seems like we've been waiting for a breakout for years, because we have. But I think that, as we've talked about, that basically the last 4 years of consolidation has really allowed gold to store up some potential energy or momentum for a more of a sustained breakout. So instead of, you know, the breakouts that sometimes we see that are end up being fake outs because they don't have that potential buying power behind it to sustain the breakout. I think this one certainly does after consolidating for 4 years. So like we've been talking about for months, I think there could be a lot more to the upside, specifically in GLD, to this breakout. I guess a couple, I don't like to put targets on it, but I would say a couple obvious extension points or targets to the upside in GLD, which is trading, I guess, around 199 right now, just below 200. But we'd be looking just over 220 and then around that 240 area for, you know, the first kind of destinations maybe for this breakout, for this new upleg. So definitely plenty of room to go to the upside as far as we're concerned.
Well, Danny, when you look at the gold equities, they are a different entity than the metal itself. But how are you looking at the setup in the gold stocks?
Yeah, definitely. They've been obviously more frustrating because they haven't really participated, been more sideways for many years at best. And even recently, as gold has consolidated near the highs, the miners have been pulled back really near, you know, multi-year lows. But as I mentioned the last couple of shows, we've been holding miner exposure for a little bit now, more almost as like a call option. You know, we think once gold does break out, that should lift the equity space as well. And we're seeing that, you know, over the last week or two, we're seeing the miners start moving now. The problem is on the charts, they got plenty of resistance to try to fight through. But if gold sustains this breakout and moves higher, obviously that should really lift the miner space. And you talk about kind of an unloved space, you could really see an acceleration in the upside if money does start chasing into that space. So right now, I think we're at one of those resistance levels, kind of the middle of the range that it's been in lately, whether it's GDX, GDXJ, even the silver miners. So hitting some resistance right now, if we can break through, that would be the first probably technical victory for the miner space and would open up more upside, certainly in the near term.
So Dana, for somebody looking at, again, the gold stocks that have just underperformed so much, and say people have been out there trying to pick bottoms, and unfortunately, as you said, they recently traded some multi-year lows, at least some of the individual stocks, but we have seen some life. I've noticed a lot of even small cap stocks in the gold sector bounce up 20, 30% in the last couple of days. But there's still a lot of room to the upside. What do you look for on a chart that confirms that momentum and more money are coming into a sector that has been beat up quite a bit and has so much upside, but has disappointed so many times?
Yeah, well, I mean, just some obvious things you want to see. Obviously, some the technical levels, technical resistance broken. You want to see the trends broken. You want to see some volume really come into it on the upside. And typically we don't watch volume a whole lot just because it's very predictable. You see, always see the most volume, you know, and on the downside and especially at lows. But if we can get a rally going here in the miners and see like a sustained amount of above average volume flowing into the miners, I think that would be a great sign that maybe some sustainable money flows are coming into it. But just simple things like trend breaks and resistance overtaking and good volume would be certainly good signs for that space.
Just one more quick follow-up on the overall precious metal sector, Dana. You mentioned how long it took to actually break out, how long the basing period was. When you look at a market like this that's been stuck sideways for a long time or bumping its head up against resistance, do you have any models for how long something like this does tend to play out?
You know, like I was mentioning, the longer something does base or, as you said, or consolidate and hold up near the highs, the more energy and more sustainable the advance can be. So something, you know, we saw that rally from, I think, around the 2008 low into the COVID top, where we saw gold slightly break out to, or at least GLD slightly break out to all-time highs. But that was after running for about 2 years straight. So that type of a breakout tends to fail it's not sustainable. You don't have that further, you know, buying power or money on the sideline, so to speak, ready to come in there and sustain that bid. So those tend to fail. But like you mentioned, now that we've been moving sideways for basically the last 4 years or so, you've got a lot more fuel, a lot more potential buying demand for a breakout that can sustain that breakout and continue to move it higher. So there are general rules that, you know, the bigger the base, the higher the space, or whatever the sayings are. So based on that theory, after moving sideways for about 4 years, maybe you got 4 years of upside. I don't like to, put that strict a, target or guideline on it, but certainly on a sustain, you could sustain this thing for certainly years. I mentioned how much upside we have even right off the bat. I think you've got that type of fuel, that type of potential energy to sustain that breakout after, you know, consolidating for 4 years.
All right, Dana, let's also look at U.S. equity markets, because as I said on the onset, there's a lot of all-time highs that we can talk about. U.S. equity markets have been hitting all-time highs on a very consistent basis. What are your thoughts on the sustainability and even the potential of these markets to just continue to extend on these gains?
Yeah, so if we parse out the different durations, I think on a long-term basis, we're much closer to the end than the beginning of any sort of a bull market. You look at all the back, what we call background indicators, like valuations, how much households have invested in the equity market, much closer to the end. But if you look at what we call an intermediate term basis, which is the measure of, you know, months, our intermediate term models typically give signals like 2 to 6 months or a little bit longer. And on that basis, I think we've got more to run to the upside. Certainly, you mentioned that we've been running, hitting new highs for many years now. If you really look at it, most of the broad market topped out around the beginning of 2022. So we've really gone nowhere for a couple of years until we just broke out earlier this year, or towards the end of the last year, maybe in the tech space. So from that perspective, we're towards the beginning of maybe of this intermediate term breakout.
All right. Thanks for sharing that information there, Dana. We are out of time for this segment, so we need to take a quick commercial break. But everyone stick around. We will be right back to wrap up the first hour with Dana Lyon.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Final segment of the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing to chat with fund manager Dana Lyons. Now, Dana, you outlined the strength in the market and a bit more of a broadening strength underlying the market. Look, we talk so much about tech and how that led the way, but it's other sectors now playing some catch up. What are some of the other sectors you are seeing that are doing well that you're playing on the long side?
You know, kind of the breadth of constructive or relative strength sectors has kept us positive on this market. In addition to our models, there have been many more sectors and market segments that have been constructive and that have been in positive postures on the charts than negative. At this point, especially in the large cap and the tech space, while still constructive, they are a bit extended, depending on which areas you look at. So we're always looking for kind of new relative strength areas that haven't run as much, that are not extended, that are maybe just starting, you know, that the type of a run that large cap and tech has shown over the last 4 or 5 months. And one area in particular, I guess, right now would be healthcare, which has kind of been in the doldrums for the last year. We've seen a lot of areas in the healthcare space just break out to new highs. So those types of kind of new relative strength, I would call it, are the areas that we'd be looking for adding exposure, especially if we're removing some exposure in other areas that are extended and hitting maybe some key extension levels. We want to take some profits in those areas. There are other spaces like biotech, like healthcare, that we can roll that money into that probably shows more potential in the intermediate term now.
Dana, what about the balance between value and growth sectors? Which ones do you see outperforming? And what does it tell you about the overall attitude of investors?
Yeah, well, the good thing is you've got good performers in both. I think we're, you know, in the maybe that transition in the longer term from growth outperforming, which it has for decades, to value outperforming. But it's not like it's signaling that we need to get out of growth entirely and pour into value right now, because you've got a lot of the growth space obviously still performing. So we don't want to jump ship when things are still going smoothly there. So the good thing, like I mentioned, you've got areas on both sides of the fence. So you can have kind of like a barbell type of approach there, which from a diversification standpoint is appealing as a manager. We've often said, you know, we concentrate in relative strength and concentrate our portfolios in those relative strength in the areas, in those areas that are performing best. And sometimes it's very limited, but when it is limited, we don't want to diversify just for the sake of diversification when some areas of the market are going to drag our portfolio down. But when we do have a wide array of areas that are performing well, including growth and value, then we're happy to diversify because we've got a little bit more cushion on certain days. We've seen, even this week, we've seen days where one area of the market's been good, the other one's gotten whacked. A couple days ago, the tech got beaten up, but really the overall breadth wasn't that bad. And we had a lot of our position were actually up on the day, even though, you know, the NASDAQ was down 300 points or whatever. So it's good to diversify when a lot of areas of the market are performing well, and I think that's what's going on right now.
Well, Dana, another segment of the market a lot of people are watching due to the changes in interest rates and Fed expectations is the financial sector. If you look at something like the XLF, the financial ETF, it's been scorching higher. But if you look at things like the KRE, the regional bank ETF, still not gotten out of the muck it's in. How are you looking at the financials?
Yeah, I mean, the financials are one another area that have been performing well. Hey, I mentioned this before we came on as well. I think lately, if you've thrown a dart, you know, at the market, you've had much better chance of hitting, you know, a constructive looking chart than the negative one. So that's been good, including financials, which have been performing well. You've got the XLF, like you mentioned, approaching all-time highs that we saw at the start of 2022. So we might have some sort of a consolidation or pause there, which would not be unhealthy or surprising. But as you mentioned, insurance, there's some other areas in the quasi-financial realm that have been screaming higher. So we want to pick out those areas within a certain sector like insurance that have been moving higher and kind of stay away from those areas that might have micro issues going on with them, like the regional bank. So again, speaking to that diversification point, we don't want to be diversified just for the sake of diversification. We want to concentrate in those areas that are acting well. And if there are a wide array of areas that are performing well, then we're happy to spread the wealth around.
Let's talk about another area that is performing quite well, and that is Bitcoin. Bitcoin, as we're talking, right around 68,000, continues to be volatile, which I think a lot of the traders like about it. Fact of the matter is it's also back at all-time highs, and it has just taken off in the last couple weeks. Dana, what's your outlook for Bitcoin then?
That's one, speaking of the XLF, where we've got Bitcoin running right up to the former highs, so it would not be unhealthy or surprising to see some sort of a consolidation here or a pause in the run. It would be actually healthier if it did pause for a bit, at least temporarily, before attempting a breakout and a new run higher, although I wouldn't put anything past this space. It can be a little bit goofy, but technically speaking, it trades very much according to, you know, kind of textbook technical concept. So I would love to see it consolidate here temporarily, pull back maybe towards recent breakout area around, you know, the lower 50,000 level, perhaps, and add some further exposure. But I would say the momentum that we've seen, given the recent run, would suggest that it's got more upside potential to it. So again, I'd love to see consolidation and take advantage of that to add exposure for a breakout and a new pop higher. I would say, just from a charting standpoint, if you're looking how much upside might be there on the next run, coincidentally looking just at a regular Fibonacci extension of the bear market we saw from the 2001 top, the next key level would be right up around 100,000. So good round numbers often come into play in markets, and that might be something that we see later this year.
Dana, I've been asking everybody this week in terms of historical references. When we're seeing markets at all-time highs, international markets doing well, and even these kind of safe haven assets like gold, maybe if you want to consider Bitcoin that too, those also reaching all-time highs. Can you think of any other times in the past, in history, where this has been the environment?
Across asset classes? I'm not sure. I'm sure there have been. Just speaking to the breadth of the equity market alone, I would say it speaks to the strength and maybe the durability here in the intermediate term of the upside potential there, just because you have much more of a cushion. You think about when market tops have narrowed in the past, just from a short-term perspective, look at last July when there were only a few stocks moving higher. When you have that, it's easier for markets to top out. All you have to do is have a couple breakdowns in those stocks that are still moving higher, and you can take the market down. At this point, you've got a bigger cushion because you have so many areas of the market that are performing right now that, you know, you knock a couple off. You know, we had some tech issues a couple of days ago in tech land, but you saw how easily the market absorbed that and right back to new highs. So that breadth of performance really provides the foundation where it cushions any blows like that. And I guess that's maybe why those divergences in the advanced decline line typically occur before the major, before those tops and the major averages occur, because you've got to kind of chip away at that foundation before it's vulnerable enough to put in a major top. So I guess that's why we're, one of the reasons why we're still very constructive here on the equity market in the intermediate term.
All right, Dana, thank you so much for taking time with us. I always appreciate how you're playing these markets and the individual sectors that you see opportunity in right now. Man, oh man, it's a good time for investors. I know that makes some people feel a little uneasy because it seems almost too easy out there, but you just outlined some sectors that could continue to run, and as you said, in the intermediate term. Again, you want to follow along with Dana, go visit the Lion's Share Pro website and check back in with us, because we chat with Dana pretty much every 2 weeks. Dana, thanks for joining us on this weekend show. Everyone, thanks for tuning in to this weekend show. Be sure to visit our website, kereport.com, and podcast DKE Report to listen to all our daily editorials and company updates. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.